you very much. You may be seated. And thank you for your contribution, for the amazing contribution you made last time. And I thank you also for this time. May God, you know, when God says that, or when Jesus said that, if you give a glass of water to a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. That means, listen carefully, it means that a background person will receive the reward of a foreground person. Isn't that something? The last shall be first. That is amazing. It's amazing. When I sat there while the film was going, I saw that lady there. I saw you, yes. And something happened. Suddenly I saw her dance through the aisle. Your hair was flying. I will come down, I will pray for you before I go. And you will dance home. Jesus. The story about my grandfather is actually how my new autobiography starts. I wrote it here. It's very new, and you will be blessed. I'll tell you, it's extremely readable, and it starts with an explosion, and it builds up to an earthquake. All right. Here I've told the stories, what God has done, what I have experienced in Africa. Those you have never heard, you will be mightily, mightily blessed. You can get it outside at the Sifan book table. And if there is still a minute or two and I can autograph a copy, I'll be happy to do it. It's Living a Life of Fire. Amen. And one other thing I want to say before I start. You can find me on Facebook. Yes, look for Reinhard Bonnke official page. And I write there every day three times some punchy stuff from Scripture. You will be blessed. All right? In the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see visions. And upon servants and handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. That is Joel's prophecy, repeated by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. I call the Holy Spirit the master evangelist, because only he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's not us, it's him. It's him. That's why when you move in the Holy Spirit, you beat all statistics. Statisticians, they begin to dissect things. It's all from brain to brain. You move in the Spirit and you see what God can do far beyond our own ability. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, I like the word suddenly, because the gospel is a gospel of revolution and not evolution. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I don't like when people try to always build up an atmosphere, an atmosphere, an atmosphere. Dear me. An atmosphere? I read about a hurricane here. And all atmosphere was gone when that heavenly hurricane moved in. If you stand in a hurricane and you try to just survive and not being blown away, you will never talk about an atmosphere. We are dealing with God. A mighty rushing wind came before it. And I tell you why. I have come to the conclusion that when God created humankind, Adam and Eve, when God created them, He created their hearts to be a fireplace for the Holy Spirit. A fireplace for the Holy Spirit. We are meant to carry the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. They are made for it. I think on the day of Pentecost, before the fire came, that hurricane had to happen just to blow away all the ash and all the trash. And then the fire fell. And that fire doesn't produce ash, nor trash. It's holy fire. Say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. My heart is a hearth. It's a fireplace for the Holy Spirit. And number two, I believe that fire in our hearts is something like a pacemaker. A pacemaker is needed when somebody's heart rhythm is out of step. He doesn't know. He thinks he's dying. Heart is out of rhythm. It's a very dangerous and a terrible situation. I believe we need a Holy Spirit pacemaker so that we can keep the rhythm of the heart of God. That His agenda is our agenda. And I believe His agenda is exactly that what Gavin already read here this morning. When Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me." And then He gives the list. That is the heart of God. His agenda, His rhythm. And we will be a victorious army. Glorious, victorious here in this world. Say amen. Hallelujah. The key is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. The next thing is this. It says, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. I've been dwelling on that for a long, long time. I've got a couple of explanations. But the last God gave me blew me away. You know, God is fire. His personality is fire. Fire goes before Him. And there came divided tongues as of fire. Little flames broke off that gigantic block of fire from the heart of God and settled on them, fell on them. I think every flame is an original, because God has no photocopying machine made in Japan. He only works with originals. And we are all originals. And every flame is an original. Say amen. Amen. Some flames are bigger. Some are half size. Some are quarter size. Some are more yellow. Some are more red. Some are both. Some are very small, hardly noticeable. But I'll tell you, whether your flame is big or small, your flame represents the whole fire of God. Here we come in the name of Jesus. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that fantastic? I have an anointing that nobody else has, because God is not a duplicator. He is a creator. And if God cares to give every human being almost 7 billion, let me say 7 billion plus, I include the pregnancies. If every human being has different fingerprints, do you think God would copy flames? No. No. You get the real thing. You get the original. And you can serve God in a way nobody else quite can serve Him. And we all need it to reflect our great and mighty God. We are all needed. Amen. The Holy Spirit is so precious to me. I keep finding new things. It just baffles me. The fact, for instance, that the stairs, they appeared divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. I tell the people, your head is the landing strip for the Holy Spirit. It's only the landing strip. He will never take off again. Do you hear? Hallelujah. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. One on each. One on each. Each. It's not a lottery to get that anointing. 120 out of 120 received it. That's 10 out of 10. It's for all blood-washed children of God. But let me come back to the tongue of fire, because this has revolutionized my own ministry. One tongue of fire sat upon each of them. Okay? That's what scripture says. Now, the tongue of fire connected with the tongue of flesh, and they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. It's now all of a sudden a totally different story. It's not just bonky, and it's not just long. And it's not just you or whosoever. It's heaven combined with earth. It's the supernatural that has connected with the natural. It's the tongue of fire connecting with your tongue of flesh. That's where the authority comes from. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not afraid of the devil. The devil is afraid of me. Hallelujah. One other thing. That is this. It says they all began to speak in other languages. Other tongues or other languages. I thought by myself, what if they all would have prayed just in Hebrew? I tell you, if they had only prayed in Hebrew when the Holy Spirit fell, I would have said, what a pity, wie schade. It's only for the Jews. I happen to be German. It's not for me, it's only for the Jews. But listen what happened. They spoke in other languages. They spoke in the languages of the world. This is the ultimate proof of the ethnic interest of the Holy Spirit. All tongues, all tribes, all nations. I'm so thrilled about such a rich representation of nations here in this church. God bless you all. And God bless the nation from which you originate. God save India. God save China. God save Indonesia and all others and Germany. Hallelujah. I've got a grandfather clock here. I borrowed it from Andrew. Actually, I'm not blind, but I tell you, it looks as if this is for someone who can't see. Are you blessed here? Yeah. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. I believe we enter into that phase right now. Young men shall see visions, not just television. A vision is when we see how God sees. Our perception changes when the Holy Spirit comes. And to prophesy, sons and daughters, it means they speak as God speaks. And that it means the gospel would be in their mouth. And the gospel in any mouth is true greatness. In Jesus' name. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Our young people, our teenagers. Instead of using the foul street language, they begin to prophesy. And say, thus says the Lord. That's going to happen in the last days. According to the word of God, it's going to happen. I'm a great believer that the Lord will touch our children. He will turn their hearts. It's not a preacher who can do it. If I could do it, I would do it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The next thing is this. So many people feel unworthy. I heard people say, I would like to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's how I felt when I was praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit so very many years ago. I felt I was not worthy. But then I read a scripture. It thrilled me. And I've come to this conclusion. Do you want to hear it? If we could make ourselves worthy to receive the Holy Spirit, we no more would need the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is not repelled by our weaknesses. He is attracted by our weaknesses. Because the Word of God says, He gives power to the faint. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Wow! That turns everything around. We are worthy. I tell you why Jesus will give you this wonderful Holy Spirit. For one chief reason. Because you need Him. Is anyone who needs Him? Shout, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. He's not a reluctant visitor. He has come for that job, for that purpose, sent by the Father. Jesus introducing him. He's here. He's here. You know what else has revolutionized my ministry? I learned that from our old Pentecostal fathers till I realized it didn't agree with Scripture. I heard them say that if they were not sure that God was not with them, they wouldn't walk the steps up to the pulpit to preach. They kept praying, "Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, be with me." And they said they didn't go up to preach if they weren't sure that that was the case. I would say that's a pity. And the answer God gave me is this. The Holy Spirit is not a commodity, you know, of which you can have a little bit more fire, have a little bit more fire, have a little bit more power, have a little bit, have a little bit, have a little bit. The Holy Spirit is not a commodity. He is a person. In fact, He is the third person of the Trinity. And no person can appear in percentages. You are the proof right here. You are here. Your entire personality is here. And the Holy Spirit doesn't appear a finger or a hand or what. He is here in full. And we appropriate Him by faith. And I take that microphone, no matter if I feel Him or not, and I go up the stairs. I said, I know from the Word of God, Jesus is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. I don't feel it, but I believe it. And I cast out every devil I can find in the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
If you don't enjoy my preaching, I enjoy it myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we serve a good God. What a glorious God. What a mighty God. Let me leave the 99. Let me come to that one prodigal son. One prodigal daughter. Is that okay with you? I came across a scripture lately that struck me, really struck me. I found it in Luke chapter 13, where Jesus Himself is speaking. This is what He says. He said in verse 23, one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive. Trouble yourself. Fight to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Wow. Here Jesus spoke about the entrance point into the kingdom of God, the gate. There is a gate. And what he mentioned was that the gate was narrow. It was narrow. And people would battle to get through and will not be able to. Now let me tell you a little story about Germany. It's almost 200 years ago when the train came to Germany. Train was invented and now the train came. And in Germany in those days, I read this story from someone who was present at that time. And the train and the people in those times lived mostly in Germany from agriculture. The women had a hard lot. They worked on the fields to produce their produce. Then once a week, they packed a big basket full with produce. And then early in the morning, on a certain weekday, they shouldered that huge basket and they carried it for hours to the next market to sell their produce to have some cash. Then the train arrived. And this eyewitness there saw what happened. The train came into the station for the first time. And he saw the women with their baskets there. Then it stopped and they opened the doors and tried to rush in, but they couldn't. They could have gone in, but the baskets were bulky. He said he watched some women drive hard, left and right. Some even tried it backwards. But they couldn't get in. And then the railway inspector came and he shouted, if you want to enter, you must unload. And this is the heart of my message right now. Narrow is the door that leads to everlasting life, that leads into the kingdom of God, that leads to salvation. Narrow, Jesus said. And many will try to enter. They will strive, they will battle, they will fight, and they will not be able to enter. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And then it came to me, we were all born sinners. We were all born with a basket on our back. Some bigger, some smaller. I think these baskets keep growing. The more stuff we put in there. I could talk for hours about sin, drugs and adultery and fornication and all these evil things that are in that basket. And the basket becomes heavier and heavier and presses us down more and more and more. And people become pressed and depressed because they carry a heavy load. It's all there. But I'm not talking about those sins right now. I talk about one or two other sins, which are much worse. The biggest sins in that basket, the biggest sin, let me say it in the singular, is pride. It's pride. And it's pride that keeps people from getting in. Although they try by all means, they try. They are not bad sinners, they say. They have not robbed a bank. They have murdered no one. I say to you, you can have forgiveness for your biggest sin, but you need forgiveness for your smallest sin. To God, doesn't matter if you have got a big sin or a small sin. To God, it only matters that we all need a Savior. And the name of the Savior is Jesus. Jesus. That's why the Lord says, humble yourself. Come out of that pride. Forgive me, but I call pride stinky pride. Come out of that situation of pride. Humble yourself before the Lord. Bow that knee in His presence. And something fantastic will happen. Something fantastic will happen. You see, none of us can get rid of that basket ourselves. Nobody. I was just in Rome. I saw the Basilica. I said to the lady that was giving us a tour, I said, my church cannot save me, and your church cannot save you, because no church died for us. No pope can save you. No bishop can save you. No evangelist can save you, because neither pope, bishop, or evangelist or pastor died for you. Now I tell you who died for you. His name is Jesus. Because Jesus died for you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Now I will tell you how you can be saved right now. You've got to humble yourself by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm right at the door to salvation, to eternal life. I'm right at the door. And I can see you stand there. Lord, you have watched me over years. I tried to get rid of all these heavy, heavy loads. I tried it, but I couldn't throw them off or out. Lord Jesus, would you please be so kind to help me take off that basket that I can fit through that narrow gate into your glorious kingdom. Can you help me, Lord Jesus? Jesus, would you please be so kind to help me? And I tell you, he says, whosoever calls upon his name shall be helped, shall be saved. That is the moment of salvation. It's between you and Jesus, not between you and an institution, not between you and a clergy. It's you and Jesus. Hallelujah.